thank you very much to the conference organizers for the opportunity to present. I'm speaking today in place of the lead author on this abstract, Lindley Barbie, who is back in Seattle awaiting the birth of her first baby. Where Ina was two years ago. Yeah, okay. Not in Seattle, but not at the conference, yes. So the background, as many of you, most of you know, CDC STD screening recommendations recommend against routine chlamydia screening for women over 25, except for those at higher risk. And what constitutes high risk among women over 25 is not well defined, and we don't have a great picture of the costs associated with screening in that group. So the genesis of this particular analysis came from a very practical place, which I suspect many of you are familiar with, which was essentially sitting around the table at an administrative meeting, looking at another budget cut, another budget shortfall, and saying, where are we going to cut costs? What else can we cut? What else can we change? And this is where this question arose about essentially the cost per case detected of chlamydia screening women over 25 in our STD clinic. But some important background relevant to this question is how our billing and payment practices work in the King County STD clinic. So we do bill insurance for any insured patients who are willing to use it, and we have sliding scale fees for patients. And we do have some labs which we call our a la carte labs, which are not public health indicated, and we have decided we are not going to use public health funds for them, and if the patients want them, they can pay full price. So our decision here was, should we convert chlamydia screening for women over 25 to that category? The a la carte labs, yes, that we have some labs that we have determined we will not use public health funding to pay for. So that is things like urethral screening in asymptomatic heterosexual men who are not contacts to gonorrhea or chlamydia. So if they want to get a urine CT or GC, they are welcome to, and they can pay the cost of the lab. So that was essentially one of the questions. Is this a place we can cut the cost? So the study questions were, first, what is the chlamydia positivity among asymptomatic women over 25 tested in our STD clinic? And two, what costs are associated with testing women over 25? So this was a fairly simple retrospective analysis over 10 years of data in the King County STD clinic. We excluded for this analysis women with symptoms, because again, we would certainly want to test women who have symptoms for chlamydia regardless of age. And we just defined that based on the way we collect it in our charts as women who had vaginal discharge or discomfort, abdominal pain, dyspareunia, or abnormal vaginal bleeding. And similarly, we excluded from this analysis women who presented as known contacts to gonorrhea or chlamydia, since they would be treated for and tested for chlamydia. We do have, as a protocol generally in our clinic still, to offer chlamydia testing to all women who have not had it in the past year. And the cost assumptions we used here, again, this was a fairly simple analysis. We just took our lab costs of the current lab costs of NAT, which is $26 for chlamydia, and essentially just used that to calculate the cost per case detected. So the results are displayed here. We had 27,000 women who had new problem visits, or 27,000 new problem visits, I should say, with women over the decade that we examined. And 31% of those were with our group of interest, which were asymptomatic women over 25 who did not have known contact to gonorrhea or chlamydia. 55% of those sought care for routine screening, meaning they came in not complaining of symptoms, interested in getting screening tests. And of those, about 5,000 were tested for chlamydia. That was 62%. I don't have data on exactly why women were tested who were tested and why women who weren't tested weren't, since we don't routinely track why the clinician would have offered it or a woman would have refused. And among the group that was tested, there were 104 positives, so 2%. That compares to, on the right, you can see the same age group, women who have known contact to gonorrhea and chlamydia, where the positivity was about 16%, again, just reinforcing our practice of empiric treatment and testing. And in women under 25, where we have a very strong indication for screening, the positivity was approximately 7% in our clinic. I recognize that's lower than chlamydia positivity in many STD clinics in the US. So then we looked again at some fairly simple bivariate analyses, comparing with chi-squared tests, about factors that were associated with positivity. And this just shows the women who were over 25 with no known contact and no symptoms. Again, a total of about 2% positive with some racial disparities, although not those you would expect to see a priori and that we're more familiar with in younger women. And in age, as was expected, the younger women in that older women age group had higher risk with a positivity of 3%, and it went down from there. Looking at history of chlamydia infection in the last 12 months, again, certainly any woman who is coming back for rescreening after an infection, we would want to continue to screen, so this is just looking as a potential predictor. And women who had a history in the last year were more likely, although not significantly so, to be more positive. And same thing for women who had ever had a history of chlamydia. Contraception, there was a difference with those who were not contracepting or using hormonal contraception having a slightly higher positivity rate. Interestingly, there was no statistically significant difference in positivity among women by number of sex partners or drug use, illicit drug use. Not including marijuana, since that's no longer illicit in Washington, and commercial sex work. In fact, commercial sex workers were slightly less likely to have chlamydia. And that, I think, is consistent with at least two other presentations at this conference by Cardia looking at chlamydia positivity in older women in all of Region 10, that it's difficult to predict who will be positive in that group. Okay, so now looking at our fairly simple cost savings, I've put on the left here the women who are costs associated with women who are over 25, and on the right, just for comparison purposes, costs in women under 25. Again, we were not considering changing our screening practices in that group. So in the older group, we needed to screen 51 women to detect one case compared to 15 in younger women. And the cost per case detected was about 3.5 times that in younger women, with a cost of about $1,300 per case detected. However, when we looked at the overall costs, it really wasn't that impressive from a budget standpoint. The total lab costs over the study period were $138,000, which in 1 year just worked out to about $14,000. Not really much from the budget perspective. So in summary, we found 2% chlamydia positivity in asymptomatic women over 25 without known contact to gonorrhea or chlamydia. And we did that at a cost of approximately $1,300 per case detected, or that's what we could project for the following year. However, if we eliminated testing in this group, it would save us only about $14,000 in lab costs per year. Limitations, certainly this was a fairly simple analysis. We just took the current cost and projected it backwards using some averages over 10 years. This was observational. As I mentioned, we don't have data on why women did or didn't test in that group, and we didn't incorporate cost of gonorrhea co-testing, and clearly this was just limited to the cost of lab testing. So in conclusion, chlamydia screening of asymptomatic women over 25 without contact to gonorrhea and chlamydia is a low priority, but eliminating this activity would save our STD clinic relatively little money. And I think we ultimately decided not to change this practice because almost certainly those small costs would be offset by all of the costs in implementing it, training front desk staff, changing our forms, training clinicians, spending time with women talking about the rationale for this. And really the cost is seeing these women in the clinic to begin with, right? So that's really where most of the cost is, not in the tests alone. So we have not made a change in our screening practice. Thank you.
Questions for Julie? Marlene?
Hi. Can you just tell me what percent of the women over 25 who were symptomatic did have chlamydia? I mean, I think that's really important thing because clearly a lot of sick women are still only providing screening for less than 25 across the board.
Right, so you're asking what was positivity among women with symptoms?
Oh, Over 25.
I don't actually have that off the top of my head. It's certainly higher, along the lines of the contacts, which were around 16%. But in some ways, we're going to test symptomatic women regardless. So, yes, and in the STD clinic, we certainly are trying to screen regardless of symptoms. We're offering that.
Yes. I think you said this was, you looked at 10 years worth of data, right?
Yes.
Did you look, like, over time, did the actual number of people over 25 who were asymptomatic decrease when you were testing, or was it fairly stable?
It was fairly stable across that time in terms of proportion. The demographics of our clinic have changed very substantially over the past decade. We now see about one-third MSM, one-third heterosexual men, and one-third women. But 10 years ago, it was a lot fewer MSM and a lot more heterosexual men and women. So in other words, no, the percent testing hasn't significantly changed, but the size of the population has.
Just a quick question about women who are over 25, if they're asymptomatic, are they coming in for a standard visit with a clinician? So it's not like an express visit type of scenario. Everyone gets the same sort of style of care?
That's a great question, because we have really tried to do expedited or express mm-hmm. care, and I would say we haven't done a great job of it so far. We're continuing to try to do that. We do have a triage protocol. Many women have not been triaged to express care because of challenges with their last menstrual period and their PAP history and their vaccine history.
Right.
Ideally, though, yes, if we could find a way to take those asymptomatic women over 25 not coming in for a vaginitis evaluation, give them a swab
right.
to self-test and go, that would be ideal.
So that is a question. Are you routinely doing that for self-testing, self-collected swabs?
So we are doing self-collected swabs for expedited care. That is the protocol. Our problem has been really getting women into expedited care. Does that make sense? Because of our triage mm-hmm. algorithm, which needs work. So I'd be interested in hearing from anyone who is doing that successfully after the session.
My question was, you referenced that you do annual screening on patients over 35, you offer it.
So
what happens with the woman who comes in four times a year? Is it offered only one of those four times?
So we... Right. So women, again, many of the women we aren't seeing over time, many of them are one-time visits, and these were just new problem visits that we were looking at. But our protocol is generally for a woman over 25 who we're seeing who hasn't had chlamydia screening in the past year, she is offered that. So if she came back in 3 months having had a negative 3 months prior, most clinicians would say you once a year screening is adequate in the STD clinic. So I think you're asking, is there anything that would drive us to do more frequent testing among older women? And we don't do that right now. No.
Thanks, Julie.